Welcome to On the Brink, a fresh lens to take you and your business to new heights. Hi, I'm Andy Simon. I'm your host or your hostess, depending on what you want to call me. But it's always so much fun to come together and share with you some great people who have ideas that you should know more about, particularly if you have to see, feel, and think in some new ways. Today, I have Matt Arts with us. And I'm so excited because Matt is a business anthropologist, an entrepreneur, and an upcoming TEDx speaker. And it all, as you know, I'm a corporate anthropologist. I was so excited that he was going to join us today. He is a co-organizer of the New York City Business Anthropology Meetup, which is a cool place for anthropologists to gather, and a guest host on this Anthro Life podcast. And I've been on that. It's a wonderful way of telling the anthropological story to a broad audience. Matt's going to tell you a little bit about himself, but right now he's the head of product and experience for Cloud Shadow and the founder and principal researcher at Azmuth Labs. If I've said that wrong, Matt will help me correct that. But he works at a very important part at the intersection of research, design, and strategy. And he's particularly interested in how to apply anthropological methods and tools in product development. Lots of user experience work, of course, but we're beginning to move business into thinking strategically by observing what's going on around them and how to design better strategies that are more aligned with what they actually want to achieve. Outside of work, Matt can be found writing and speaking about business anthropology, product development, and his research on direct-to-consumer DNA testing. And I also like the fact he's an amateur musician and a photographer and loves to travel as we do. Matt, thanks for joining me today.
Yeah, thanks, Andy. Appreciate you having me on.
Tell the listeners about your own journey. How did you discover anthropology, and particularly business anthropology, and why is it so exciting to you?
Sure. Yeah, well, so, you know, what's interesting about that is, in many ways, I have come about this in the reverse direction from many anthropologists who are today are working in business. So I studied business at the undergrad level. I always intended to work in a business context, particularly within information systems. So I studied information systems, you know, in that period of my life, went on, got an MBA, and had always, you know, planned to work in that space. And so I started my career within digital marketing and were leading projects in that space and realizing that what we were building was oftentimes, you know, it looked wonderful. It was led by, you know, the visual design was compelling, but it wasn't really moving the needle in terms of performance, you know, for whatever the KPIs were that were defined. And so that got me thinking at that time, you know, what else could I do? What could I bring into my practice that may improve that? And of course, you know, UX was on the rise, design thinking was on the rise, Harvard Business Review was starting to write about these kind of topics. And so, you know, the value of that type of work became very well known in mass media. And so that, along with a few other things, led me down the path of getting an applied anthropology degree from the University of North Texas, where I focused on business, tech, and design. And so today, I then use anthropology and bring that, as I say, into my practice, so that we are leading with research to drive what it is we're going to build, right? Because the key, particularly in tech or in any business, is making sure that you are addressing a need and building the right product or delivering the right service.
You know, it's interesting listening to you because you bring together, similar to my own, I mean, I spent 20 years in industry and 10 years in academics, and I found that applying anthropology to business came along better if I was working in the business. I won't say I was doing participant observation, but it was a little bit of a blend when you're an executive trying to change a bank or in a healthcare organization. You get humbled by how difficult it is to really know what's happening. Talk a little bit about, because you have an intersection here that's very valuable. Talk about what it is that you bring to a client. Perhaps you can share some in a generic kind of way that helps them see things through a fresh lens. Because I do think that's the value of anthropology. It isn't, we don't know what we're really doing until we step out and look at it differently. How about, what have you discovered?
Sure. Well, so, you know, the wonderful thing about anthropology is our sort of, you know, training lends us to sort of zoom in as needed, zoom out as needed, look in a very holistic way at the problem, and really sort of mediate or be a cultural broker. And so one of the things I found most helpful is really that aspect, because in a business, you know, you are generally working with various departments, right, quite cross-functionally. And you could say that the business at large has a business culture, an organizational culture, but many times, you know, those departments will as well, those teams will as well. Even teams within, say, an engineering department might have their own culture. And so being able to work across them and help to kind of pull all of those threads together, find a common narrative and help everybody work together, I think has been one of the, you know, the greatest assets that the anthropological toolkit has provided. And so I particularly do that, and these days I'm particularly doing that in product management and user experience. So I'm leading those efforts within the organization I work at, which is a consulting firm primarily building software products. And so, you know, in the process of building products, we need to research the market, we need to research users, then we need to do a lot of prioritization and collaboration with teams. And ultimately, we need to ship and build a product and ship it. And so there is a lot of coordination across all of that. And so that is an excellent way of applying anthropology. But an example of where this really comes into be, say, so I, speaking relatively vague, we do a lot of work in the energy sector. And in the energy sector, there are various stakeholders. There are, in the deregulated space, that is, right? There are brokers, there are suppliers, there are utility companies, there are the customers that purchase the energy and use the energy, and they all have various needs. And so we've built an enterprise platform comprised of 7 different applications that are for all of those stakeholders, basically, excluding the utilities. And so the needs of each of those is very different. And building a platform that can enable them all to work together and all find some benefits at the end has really been a challenge, but one that I think anthropology has lended itself to. Because to give a kind of more specific example, as I went in and spoke with suppliers, they had a need to have more data. They wanted basically better information so that they could operationally perform better. Now, of course, that is kind of counterintuitive to what a broker may want, because a broker wants the best price out of them. And so how do you negotiate that relationship? So through research, getting into the field, really understanding the needs of both groups helped us to come up with a strategy that provided the suppliers what they wanted, but also benefited the brokers in the long term, which in turn also helped the brokers establish a more sticky relationship with the end user, who is the retail consumer of that energy. In the end, you know, engagement in this platform has gone up drastically. More deals are being transacted. So that is, you know, an example of how I've used the research in this space.
Wow, how exciting, isn't it? Because they all knew their part, but now they, how they connected. It was an orchestra where everyone was playing different music and no conductor.
Yeah, and anthropology can help play that role.
Well, it is an interesting role, particularly since you don't face the orchestra per se. You're the glue. You're like an Uber. You connect the audience, the suppliers and the brokers with the software folks who now need to create a solution that was valuable for both of them. Am I right?
Correct, yeah.
It's interesting. Menlo Innovations is a software engineering firm in Ann Arbor, and Richard Sheridan has IT anthropologists, because he got tired of his engineers saying, oh, those stupid customers. And so rather than say they're not stupid, he got folks to work with him who actually are more on the IT side than the anthropology side, but they go out and they work with the customer so that the software engineers can better align what they're doing with what the customer really wants. Because what they say may have nothing to do with what they really need. And that's the challenge for us. If you don't observe, the words have no meaning. My Anthro 101 was, you know, out of context. There's no data. It has no meaning. So it's interesting. Are you finding that businesses are more open to it, even if they don't quite know what you're going to do when you do it?
Yeah, so you know, I'm very much interested in using the tools and methods of anthropology to solve the problems, but I frequently am not leading with, like, you know, a sales pitch of saying, hey, we're going to do anthropology. I'm leading with, you know, their sort of problem, right? What we're going to help them solve. And the tools of how we get there eventually come into that conversation. And when there's an opportunity to maybe elaborate on the role of anthropology in that space, I do, but I do not lead with it. I really try to focus on what their business problem is and frame it in that way. And there again, that's an interesting opportunity for any anthropologist who want to work in that space, right? Because we're sort of trained to learn the language of others. And so listening to, you know, any, whether it's like the language of an industry or whatever it may be, or just broadly speaking, the language of business, to learn that and to reframe what we do in that sense, I find generally helps not only sell the project, but also in the course of managing the project, be more effective.
You know, there's a dual-edged sword here. When I launched my business, and even before, I launched it as a corporate anthropologist that helps companies change. And I will tell you that whether it was Markell Paper or Centenary College or Montefiore Medical Center, my early clients, they hired me because they had to change. They couldn't care less how I did it. The problem, and you're describing it the same, if you don't make it resonate for them in a language they understand, anthropology sounds mysterious. And the question is, what will I trust you to do? And how will I know what you're doing? The dual edge to this is that it's hard to get anthropologists hired because they sell themselves as these social scientists who can help them see things and understand better. But the business problem isn't to hire an anthropologist. It's to make something change or to build better relationships. And I haven't found a way to advocate. So I still get hired because I help companies see things through a fresh lens. I help them change. I help them adapt to fast-changing times, build a new culture. But it's very hard to say, buy me because I'm an anthropologist. Nobody does. And I don't think I have a hunch you find the same thing.
Yeah. Now, you know, what I know from being involved in the digital space, I can see that searches are on the rise for anthropology consultants. You know, there's a growing trend, and I think you see, like, say, particularly in the UX space, more job postings that include anthropology as one of the disciplines, you know, that that they're looking for. So there is a growing awareness of this, but it also brings up the point of what do we do in the space, and is it ethnography sort of light, or is it really, you know, involving the theory that we've been trained in to inform the work that we're doing? And of course, in an ideal world, you know, you're getting to do, you know, a research project in the way you've been trained, but that rarely is the case, probably in business. And so, you know, I think as anthropologists coming into the business space, we need to be aware that we might not get to do the kind of research we desire or frame it in the way we want. But also, you know, I think we need to appreciate that some businesses are maybe looking for that more, but not all, right? So it's all about, to me, like, who is your audience and knowing the audience. There's a time and a place. The other day, I happened to have a conversation with one of the largest tech companies, you know, in the world. And we happened to be, somebody reached out to me because of something I posted online and just wanted to do kind of like an informational interview about something they're trying to solve. And so we were talking. This person really wanted to know about the theory that could go into this. And, you know, it was a wonderful conversation, an opportunity to talk about field theory and world systems theory and some other things to understand, like, some of the dynamics that are happening in their industry. Great time to really, you know, to tout the benefits of anthropology and our training. But in other cases, like you say, they really just want us to create some change, create some meaningful change. And that could be that they want, you know, research, qualitative research, and maybe the conversation stops there, and I'm okay with that. And other times, you know, I when I have the opportunity, I'll you know, raise the flag. But I think it's all about knowing the audience and figuring out when is the best time to have that conversation or not.
Now, a word from our sponsors, Simon Associates Management Consultants. Simon Associates is us, and we love to help you see, feel, and think in new ways to help you and your business grow. We specialize in applying the tools and methods of anthropology, but we're also entrepreneurs and business builders, and we like to share our experience and expertise with you. So if you're stalled or stuck or starting up, give us a buzz and let's see if we can help you as well. You can learn all about us at simonassociates.net and read my book, learn about it at andysimon.com. There's a free chapter you can download and a toolkit you'll find very helpful. We're on Amazon, and you can buy it as a book, an ebook, or even an Audible that I recorded myself. We look forward to hearing from you at simonassociates.net. info@simonassociates.net is right to us. Now back to our podcast.
Yep. It's interesting because the education of the anthropologist, I remember so long ago, my husband asked me on a beach on a lake when we first met, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I said, well, I'm either going to be an attorney or an anthropologist. And he said, oh, be an anthropologist, and I'll be here for you. Now, The interesting part of that conversation, not only was it so vivid and we laugh about it, but I became an anthropologist. I don't do anthropology. And I often say to people, it's the way you see the world. Once you get into it, you no longer see it the way you were before. And I share that with you because I have a hunch you too were transformed from somebody who studied business and systems to all of a sudden having a different way to see all of those. Did that happen to you as well? Because I have a hunch you are an anthropologist. You don't do anthropology.
So it did. And
It did, or it did not?
No, it did. And there's an interesting story behind that because when I was in my MBA program, I was working very closely with a faculty member who had some experience in anthropology. He, in the past, worked on some large projects tied to IBM where there was, you know, anthropologists involved. And so he brought a human-centered approach to all aspects of business. Any class that he taught, he brought this human-centered approach before human-centered was, you know, everywhere in the media. And so that sort of was one of the things that helped me lead me down this path and realize that, you know, putting the human at the center of all of this, whether it's a tech decision, an organizational decision, whatever it may be, is really, really critical. And so certainly then when I got into the anthropological, you know, into my studies, that really, I already had a hint of that, right? But it really shaped the way I looked at the problem. And, you know, no longer was a tech solution about tech for the sake of tech,
no,
whatever it may be. But really, it's about enabling the humans that, you know, will use this product.
No, now you said something that I can't emphasize enough. Humans. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter whether it's people you work with or the people you sell to or the people you're helping, they're humans. And this human-centered is a nice phrase. What does that mean? And I'm working on a leadership academy for a client. I've been working with other clients for several years now, helping them develop their millennials. When the millennials said to me, I don't know how to talk to clients, I said, this is sort of an interesting opportunity to improve your interpersonal skills so you can communicate and coordinate well. There are a whole lot of things about humans today that need a hand. And sometimes the problems are coming because we're doing it with humans, and they're not IT. You can't code them. You can help the habits develop, but they have their habits, and those take over when they think things are dangerous and the amygdala hijacks everything. So it's a really interesting world. We do a lot of culture change work. Are you doing some as well?
We are not necessarily selling that as a service, but on a daily basis, you know, a product manager is a role that doesn't directly manage anybody, right? Nobody directly reports to you, but you manage a process that involves many cross-functional roles. And so you're really doing kind of culture change work constantly, right? You're negotiating, your soft skills are absolutely critical in that kind of role, because what you're doing is, you know, you're organizing, again, kind of, you know, using your term from earlier, orchestrating all these people to work together who, again, have their own sort of beliefs, work practices, you know, their own goals, needs in an organization. And so, you know, that whole process is really about organizational change. And to be successful in the product management space, it's, you know, it's much less about yourself and it's much more about the team, you know, all of whom are very skilled and, you know, are absolutely key contributors to whatever it is that you're going to build and produce. And so again, not selling the service, but I think on a daily basis, doing the work.
You know, it's interesting. In my leadership academy and in other client personal development programs, I talk a lot about the way we've learned about the brain, because culture and the brain are closely connected in so many ways. They're really one. But we talk about visualization. If I can help someone visualize what they are expecting, and expectation management and some attention density here and focus, the brain has taught us a lot about what people are like and why the habits take over, because they have one story in their head and that story becomes sacred. And anything else you push in doesn't match it. They immediately reject it and flee it, fear it, appease it, the amygdala hijacks it. And so the intersection of those learnings that we're coming with are very important when you're working with communities of people, because you begin to understand they have to now share a visualization or they'll never get there together. And they don't really know what it is you're talking about, but they'll say yes. I always love the fact that if you don't tell them a story, they'll make one up. and theirs become sacred. We did some work with a large healthcare system. They were acquiring hospitals, And they didn't understand why the new hospitals didn't want to become part of the culture of the acquiring hospital. And so when we did our studies and stuff, the acquired was really quite happy with what they did, as you would expect. And the acquirer thought that was terrible because why else would you acquire him? It was truly Greeks and Romans coming together and fighting a war over who was right. It was humans at their very best. So as you look forward a little bit, do you see some trends that you can share?
Well, you know, certainly within my industry, again, there is a greater appreciation for how social science, broadly speaking, and anthropology specifically, can contribute, and which is encouraging. But what I also see is there are a lot of technologies that are, you know, coming up and that are radically going to change the world. And, you know, when we speak of tech today, we oftentimes are speaking of IT, of information technology. But really, you know, technology has always had this problem, right? From, you know, from a house to a hammer, you name it. Anything that we've ever created as humans has the ability, you know, basically creates and destroys. And so within the IT space, there are a lot of opportunities and a lot of things that I think we need to actively be talking about. And so, you know, there's certainly machine learning and AI that are going to cause, you know, great changes in the industry. Some going to be very beneficial, some not. There's other things like, you know, a lot of my personal research work has been in consumer genetics over the past couple of years. Again, you know, we'll contribute to personalized medicine, but right now there are a ton of, you know, the amount of security, privacy concerns, the question of utility, there's all these issues. And so I think there's a lot of changes coming because of IT. And I think the key takeaway here is that we need to be talking about them, right? They are big, they are sort of revolutionary between AI, automation, broadly speaking, changes in the health sector. And so because of all those changes, I think it's more of the reason why we need to put the human at the center of the equation and make sure that we keep talking about how all these technologies are going to impact our lives and society, broadly speaking.
You know, it's interesting. I was watching some of the videos coming out of Davos, and it's almost expected now that between AI, machine learning, robots, blockchain, 3D printing, how many different kinds of things are going to simply force us to reinvent humans. If 90% of the work can be done differently using the technology, which whether that's the right number or 20% doesn't matter, but it was almost blasé at Davos. It wasn't urgent. It was coming, like all the other technology. It comes, and we just have to reinvent ourselves so we can flee it or fear it, or we can begin now to start to redesign the way we do things, work and otherwise, and enjoy the journey because it's coming. And it's pretty sophisticated stuff now that's on the horizon. And if not, you know, I have an accounting firm that's already putting bots in to do a better job at the calculations than the people can, and they can. And yeah, a better job at the audits and compliance than the people can. So people, what can we do? And how will we do it? But we've always evolved, and the hunters and gatherers are not around us a lot, but we can actually go study them in Botswana or Tanzania, but we learn a lot about being human from them, not about the challenges that we're facing necessarily. This has been such fun. I do love to talk anthropology. What fun this is. Matt, a couple of things you want our listeners to remember as they sign off.
Well, I'd say boiled down, for any anthropologist listening, I'd say, you know, consider business as a place where you can really make a positive impact in the world. And it doesn't have to just be user experience, which is hot right now. It could be product management and, you know, could be strategy. And there's many other areas that we can focus on and contribute. I would also say to companies listening, you know, whether you're hiring a consultant or, you know, somebody to come inside, again, consider social scientists. We have some big challenges ahead of us. They're exciting times. You know, there'll be some positive, great things that come out of it, but we really need to design systems for humans. And then I think maybe the last thing would be to do what you've been doing with your podcast and with your book, which is to popularize these ideas. You know, we need sort of more Margaret Meads from, you know, of the past, you know, popularizing what it is we do because people don't understand it. And so I thank you for having me on today because this is a great opportunity for us to kind of contribute to that conversation.
Well, I'd love to do it again. So 6 months from now, we'll do a redo and you'll keep pushing it out because I couldn't agree more. And it's hard to do it as a soloist. But on the other hand, it's so interesting when you watch people have aha moments, those epiphanies, and all of a sudden they have stepped out. I take them exploring when I can. And all of a sudden we walk out of a room and I said, what did you hear him say? And he tells me what he said. Well, let me tell you what I heard him say. It was as if we were in two different places. Mm-hmm. And he said, oh, you're right. And all of a sudden the brain goes, and there's a swoosh and an epiphany. And that's what a little observation can do. And you're right. The book has really brought us lots of good clients who, can you help me with that? And they're usually coming for a fire that's burning out of control. And I'm the last resort. I feel like the emergency room doctor or the fire person. Anyway, it's been such fun. Thanks, Matt. Let me sign off. For all of you who came, I'm so glad to share this with you. Please share it further. We love to share anthropology stories and anthropologists with others. It really helps you see, feel, and think with a fresh eye. And I say those things because it's just what I want you to do. Step out, begin to look at things through a lens that you're not looking at now, and let your brain change the story. You really don't know what you're doing, but you are so happy doing it. You can't tell if it's good or bad anymore. It's just the way we do things. Welcome to Being a Human. It's such fun. My book is On the Brink, A Fresh Lens to Take Your Business to New Heights. It's on Amazon in all kinds of flavors, and I love to share it and share the stories. I think we finished our 412th workshop, and I think my podcasts are at 170. That's 3 years of podcasting. We have over 100,000 people listening every month. And I can't thank you enough for building a community who want to share our shares. Thanks. Have a great day.